For a few moments before we go to prayer, I'd like to invite you to take your Bibles and turn to the second epistle of Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. Today we're going to have a word to the wise. Are you among those that are wise? 2 Peter 1, 19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed. As unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. When university professors tell their students what's going to be on the upcoming exam, they're speaking prophetically, aren't they? We're going to be having an exam at the end of the semester, and oftentimes a professor will do this when he reviews. He says, a word to the wise, I would be aware of what you study in chapters 3 and 4. Of our curriculum series, or he'll be dealing with a certain subject and he'll say, for those of you that want to prepare for this exam and do well, a word to the wise. Now, what does that tell you? Well, you see all of the students making their marginal comments, and they're going to make sure that they're boning up on that material because the professor just gave them a hint that they better be ready in that particular area. And woe be to the student that doesn't take heed to the prophetic warnings of his teacher. Well, here we have some prophetic warnings that are given unto us. The context of this passage is speaking of the Mount of Transfiguration experience. Notice going back to verse 16 of chapter 1, it says, we have not followed cunningly devised fables. God's word is not campfire folklore passed along, getting embellished with the telling every time. He says, we haven't followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The event of the Transfiguration was a foreview of the power and the coming of the Lord and the prophetic events involved. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 17 in a moment. But he says this, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And Peter was one of them, along with James and John. And it says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. He's going back 3 decades to an event that happened while Christ was on earth. 2 Peter was written approximately 66 AD, and he's looking back 3 decades, and he says this, there came a voice to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. This voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. That's Mount Tabor. And that's about 11 miles west of the Sea of Galilee. And he says, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. We're going to be touching on that. For a moment, go back to the original event of Matthew chapter 17. And you'll notice the Word of God begins in verse 1, Matthew chapter 17. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John and brings them up into a high mountain apart. Again, the traditional site, Mount Tabor. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Here we see a prefigurement of the glory that our Lord will have in his kingdom when he is ruling and reigning on the throne of David, having his glorified body, his faith shining as the sun, his raiment white as light, and then two other personages appear in this portion of Scripture. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, or Elias, talking with him. Now, I want you to get the significance of these personages in the Mount of Transfiguration. You have Christ, representative of the future king in glory, who's going to be establishing his kingdom. Then you have Moses. Moses is typical of believers that go into the kingdom through death. Remember, Moses died and experienced death, never entered into the promised land. And by the way, he makes it to the promised land after all, doesn't he? In this prophetic utterance here. It's just a beautiful picture of he's coming and he'll be there in the millennium, but here's a prefigurement. It's called a vision, you see, in verse 9. So it's looking telescopically, but yet it was an event that actually took place. But it was a vision of the future as well. So you've got Christ as King in glory, Moses, who is a picture of believers that will enter the kingdom through death. And then you have Elijah. Now, we know how Elijah went into eternity. He was translated without seeing death. There will be a company of believers that will enter into the millennial kingdom that were raptured. And that's a picture of church-age believers, a picture of those that will be entering. The church will be with Christ in the kingdom. And then, of course, you have Peter, James, and John. They're typical of believers who have not died, have not been raptured, but will enter into the kingdom with non-glorified bodies. And we know that there will be many that will escape the wrath of the Antichrist, enter into the kingdom, and during that kingdom period, they'll have the capacity of procreation, and that's how the kingdom is populated. So you have these personages here, Christ, typical of the king in glory, Moses, a picture of glorified believers going into the kingdom through death, Elijah, a picture of those that enter into the kingdom who were previously raptured up through the coming of the Lord. And then Peter, James, and John, non-glorified Israel, entering through without having seen death. And then if you really want to look a little closer, you'll see in verse 14, there's a reference to a multitude that would be a picture of many, many nations that will be present as well. This was a great experience. How many of you would have liked to have been there? Let me see your hands. God doesn't have his favorites, but he does have his intimates, those who especially seek him, and very often they experience the greatest of blessings. And here, Peter and James and John experienced a highlight, the zenith of experience that the other disciples did not experience. But this is fantastic. We would all love to be here. But you know what the Bible says? Special revelation. Special revelation is higher than experience. How many people today put an emphasis in ecclesiastical circles on experience? Oh, I had this vision. I had this dream, you know. I heard this voice, and people today will formulate doctrine on experience. If you go back to 2 Peter, the Bible tells us a word to the wise, a word to the wise. The guy that was there, one of the guys that was there, namely Peter, is saying this: what I'm giving to you is superior to any experience, however great it may have been in my life. And that is our task, dear people, as believers in Christ, to draw people away from human experience, but center them to the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the more sure word of prophecy. Not deriding the inspiration of the experience because it's part of God's word and Matthew 17 is divinely inspired. But the point is, our experiences are fallible, ours. But you'll never go wrong when you follow the infallible word of God. And it says this, three things I want us to notice in this particular portion of Scripture in verse 19. A threefold outline. Number one, we're going to see the sure word. The sure word. Then we're going to see number two, the shining light. The shining light. And then we're going to see the star arising. Let's take a look at point number one, the sure word. The Bible says in verse 19, speaking about this Mount of Transfiguration experience, and then speaking to these believers who never experienced that experience, but they have the word of God. It says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Verse 19 literally reads, we have a more sure prophetic word. We have a more sure prophetic word. We have the prophetic word. Peter is ranking Scripture above experience. Do you see that? This is why we are Central Florida Bible Church. We're not the first church of the divine encounter or the experiential church. But Scripture is above experience. The Word of God is more reliable verification of truth than any human experience. And we do well to heed it. A word to the wise is the idea, you see. We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that ye take heed. A word to the wise. And just like a professor would tell his students, listen up, a word to the wise. That's what the Lord is doing for us. So we have the sure word in the first part of verse 19. But then let's take a look at the second aspect of verse 19, and that is the shining light. We have not only the sure word, we have the shining light. And it says this, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. You know, that's what the Bible is for us. It's a light in a dark place. I don't like time change. And I don't like when it gets dark early. And I don't like when I have to drive home from work or a call and it's dark. And I don't like when you go out on visitation, you can't see house numbers and street lights. And, you know, it's hard to see at night a lot of times, especially oncoming traffic with the glaring of the lights and all of that. You know, we're living in a dark day today. And people need the Word of God. And God's Word is a light that keeps on shining in a dark place. Are you going through some dark times right now? Are you going through some times where putting a step in front of another is tough to know what the Lord would have you to do? Use the light of God's Word. You remember Psalm 119, 105? You know it by heart. You may not realize it, but when I start quoting it, you will. It says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. And the word of God tells us here that God's word is shining. It's a shining light. God's word alone enables us to see through the murky darkness of this fallen world. In a day when everybody's throwing up their politically correct opinions, and that's all they are, opinions, but they may think that they can pull rank on you because they may be members of the Supreme Court or they may be magistrates that have been elected. Remember this, I saw a great white throne, and him whose face, the Bible tells us, the heavens fled away, and they stood before the Lord, small and great. Man is going to have to give an account, and that professor is going to be passing out the tests, and who took heed is going to be readily recognizable. But in the midst of all of the murky confusion, and isn't that what we're living in today? Oh, here's my opinion of what a family is. Oh, here's my opinion about what morality is. Well, here's my opinion about this and that. Everybody has an opinion. Truth is relative. That's not true. God's word enables us to see through. It's a sure word, and it's a shining light, but also it's a star arising. Notice the star arising. It says this, God's word is going to see us through until the day star arise in your hearts. You know, these two phrases here, the day dawn and then the day star, these two phrases are references to the second coming of Christ with special reference to establish his kingdom. The wonderful part about it is that in the morning, I get up early and I'll look to the east and I can see the day star. You can see Venus is the day star. You can see it shining bright. And it's the morning star, they call it. The bright and morning star. Today it was real cloudy, so you couldn't see it. But all of this tells us that a new day is coming. A new day is coming. And that new day that we have with the Lord, for us it's going to start at the rapture. For others, they got to wait till the establishment of the kingdom. But you know what? Once the Lord comes, that's great for us. We're going to get it ahead of time there with the Lord. But it says this, the day dawning, day star arising, these are references to the coming of the Lord. The best is yet to come. A new day is coming. And we thank the Lord. So this is a word to the wise because number one, are you saved? Number two, are you serving him? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And we certainly need to be praying and sharing the word of God with others. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the wonderful experience that Peter, James, and John had. But Lord, in reality, they don't have anything on us because, Lord, you've given us your completed word of God that is forever established in heaven. And Lord, we can lean and rely upon it, and it guides us every step of the way. Help us, Lord, and forgive us for the many times we have a tendency to depend on feeling and experience and forget that your word is what we bank on. And Lord, not only are we saved by the word of God, but we're sanctified by it, and we serve by it, and we, Lord, give the word of God out. Help us to be faithful in proclaiming these truths and reminding not only ourselves but others of the surety of the fulfillment of the word of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.